Doesn't it? Amen. I'll tell you what, I appreciate that. We want to get our study guides in everyone's hands tonight. We are beginning our last of the seven motivational spiritual gifts tonight. We're actually going to do one more study beyond this study to capstone the series, but we are on the last of the spiritual gifts tonight, and we won't get all the way through it, but let's see how far we can get tonight. Just raise your hand or the ushers get to you and make sure everyone gets a study guide. Find Romans chapter 12, if you will. And while you're turning there, let me just ask tonight. You're stuck together out there, Brother Phil? All right. You sure can. Miss Glenda, go ahead. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, that goes back to that night in the hospital. It didn't look good. And Miss Glenda told me, and she wasn't, I don't think, lacking in faith. She was just operating on the information she'd received. And the doctors told her to get the family all together, that Brother Paul was probably not going to be for this world much longer. And I just didn't want to say goodbye to Brother Paul. I didn't have the grace to do that. And I told Brother Paul that night in the hospital, amen, it was like a motel, amen. We checked in, checked out, amen. But I told Brother Paul that night, I said, Brother Paul, I'm going to pray before I leave, but I ain't praying for grace to handle your loss. I said, I'm praying for America. We'll pray for grace later if we need it. And I'm not taking credit, but I tell you, I'm praising the Lord tonight that Brother Paul is kicking. And we're literally talking about another project, amen, right now, Brother Paul wants to help us with. And just knowing that's possible is just a Red Sea miracle, amen. And appreciate you reminding us tonight and giving us that good report, Miss Glenda. Praise the Lord. But speaking of people we need to be in prayer for tonight, keep praying. Of course, for Brother Dale Long, he is still in real serious shape, and also be much in prayer, continue, as I know many of you are, for Miss Sandy Bailey. She is in just an awful lot of pain. And then we've got two of our dearest church members in the hospital tonight. Miss Angela went in, what day did she go in, preacher?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, and she's still in tonight, and internal bleeding. And poor Angela has been through so much, and I just can't even imagine all that's on her heart tonight. So pray for her. And then also, Miss Daphne ended up back in the hospital, and pneumonia, and I believe I even heard she got diagnosed with COVID. So, I mean, she's just going through it again, and so be in prayer for her tonight. I believe they're both in Smithfield. That's where you said Angela is, preacher. That is also where she is tonight. So let's pray for these precious, precious ladies tonight. Well, we're in the last of the spiritual gifts. We have learned thus far the seven motivational spiritual gifts are prophet. The servant is gift number two, or the gift of ministry. The third spiritual gift, the gift of teaching. The fourth being the gift of exhortation. The fifth being the gift of a giver. And then our last study was the gift of a ruler, or what we also discovered was the gift of administration. If you'll look tonight, I'll just read all the verses, starting in verse number 5, Romans 12. The Bible says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence." Read with me, if you would, tonight in conclusion, the end of verse number 8, the last spiritual gift together. Let's read it. "He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." You recall, as we've learned throughout this entire series, starting in verse 9 down through verse 15, every one of the spiritual gifts has a verse addressed to that gift. The verse addressed to the gift of mercy is verse number 15. Famous verse, the Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I want to really zero in tonight. Again, I want to be sensitive to the time, but I want to develop this a little bit tonight in our hearts. It is not coincidental that the verse ends in verse number 8 with the words, with cheerfulness. How does someone who has the spiritual gift of mercy, why is it necessary that they do it with cheerfulness? Well, the Bible says, as we've just read in verse 15, we are all commanded, of course, but specifically this gift, they are commanded to rejoice with them that do rejoice, but also to weep with them that weep. Of all the spiritual gifts, this one is so unique. The person with this spiritual gift has a real danger associated with this gift. Because people with mercy, there's just nothing they can do about it. It's in their DNA. It's the way God made them. They've never seen a stray puppy they didn't want to take home. They've never seen a heartbroken person they didn't want to put their arm around and help. They've never seen someone fall down. They've never seen someone struggle that they don't feel a burden to get involved. You say, why is that a dangerous thing, preacher? Because this person can get around a lot of heartache. This person can get around a lot of hurt people. Are you following me? You remember the little cliche, hurt people hurt people. A lot of times people that hurt you and I, it's not really that they're a bad person, but they're wounded, they're hurt. And a lot of times we who are hurt, hurt other people even unintentionally. It's collateral damage. And sometimes, sadly, many times, those with the spiritual gift of mercy end up being damaged by the people they try to show mercy to. I've learned, Brother David, over the years, those with this spiritual gift often get drawn to people that are discouraged, people who are depressed, people who are maybe offended, people who are possibly struggling. And what happens often in this spiritual gift is people take up the offense of the people they're helping. I'm thinking tonight, and you wouldn't know who I'm talking about, I wouldn't betray any confidences, but I'm thinking of someone that I pastored for many years. No doubt in my mind at all, Brother Terry, they had this spiritual gift. And one of the best friends, most loyal church members I've ever served with, and yet I watched this dear person sort of do this a little bit, and not because they were not a good person, but because they, like I say, never ran across a discouraged, heartbroken, defeated person they didn't have a compassion for and would run to people's side. And I would watch from time to time people that were struggling or people that were upset with other people that this dear one would be somewhat sympathetic, not just to their hurt, but to the offense that they've taken. So I want to think tonight, I want you to really study for a moment. We've been learning all about these spiritual gifts. Many of you have commented early in the series that there's either a prophet in your family, or maybe when you look in the mirror, you see a prophet. What an important spiritual gift. We learned about the gift of a servant. We learned about the gift of a teacher, the gift of exhortation. Last week, several people came to me throughout the gift of the ruler series and said, I'm married to that person, or that's me, preacher. And I want to really challenge you tonight. I know I gave a little precursor tonight. Don't shy from this spiritual gift. It might be. I'm not saying anyone's more important than the other, but boy, I don't know if we can even put a premium on how important it is that there are people among us who have the gift of mercy. You'll really appreciate it when you're going through a valley.
Yeah.
And this person shows up and you say, I don't know why they're so, I wasn't even that close to them, and they just were there for me. You say, preacher, what a wonderful person. And I would say amen and amen and amen. But can I say this? It's probably a spiritual gift. They may not even know it's a spiritual gift. Let's dig in tonight. Let me ask you to turn to Psalms 37. Very important that you see this tonight, Psalms 37. While you're turning there, I want to remind you the last word of verse number 8 said that those that have this spiritual gift, they are to use this gift with cheerfulness. Now, let me tie a verse together. It's actually on the top of our study guide. I won't take you there for time tonight, but 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that God loves, talks about our giving, that we're to purpose in our heart when we give. But the verse ends with these words, that the Lord loveth, what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. Is it not interesting that this spiritual gift, the admonition, the revelation of this gift ends with the word that it's to be done with cheerfulness, and God loves a cheerful giver. Look, if you will, at Psalms 37 tonight. Look with me, church, at verse 21. The Bible says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But notice the rest of the verse. But the righteous showeth what? Mercy. And what's the next characteristic of a righteous man? And does what? Giveth. It's not coincidental, Brother David, that Romans 12:8 says that mercy is to be shown with cheerfulness, and that God loves a cheerful giver. And the Bible says here in Psalms 37 that the righteous show mercy and they give. Does it all correlate, preacher? Oh, my, does it ever. It is so necessary if you have this spiritual gift. Can I say this tonight? I could get on a rabbit trail here, but I want you to really, really study this for a moment. My spiritual gift does not necessarily mean that I'm spiritual. Brother Joe, you're a young evangelist, and a lot of doors have been opened to you, and I praise God for that. But we need to always be careful whenever we have any spiritual gift or a calling from the Lord that we don't misunderstand spiritual gifts from spirituality. Remember, the Bible says in Proverbs that a man's gift maketh what? Room for him. Sometimes we watch people serve the Lord and we love them. They bless our hearts. But it isn't because they're spiritual. It's because of their spiritual gift. Someone who is very gifted, especially in the area of music, and I'm not zeroing in on that, but it's a good illustration. Someone that's got great talent, boy, you hear him sing, you hear him play an instrument, and you think, oh, how that blessed my heart. It might not be that their spirituality blessed your heart. It might be their spiritual gift blessed your heart. Now, that's not a criticism, but it's for introspection. Maybe the reason God's using you is not because you're spiritual, but because he's given you a spiritual gift. I have to be careful as a preacher. Now, I've been given the privilege, and I'm humbled by it, but I've been able to preach all over this country. I have to be careful, Brother Todd, just because my phone rings and I get an invitation, not to equate that with me being spiritual. Yes, sir. I might be getting an invitation somewhere because someone likes to hear me preach. It had nothing to do whether or not I'm worthy to preach. Y'all with me tonight? Of all the spiritual gifts, they all require this. But of all the spiritual gifts, none requires a spiritual person more than the gift of mercy. Because if you have this spiritual gift, you're going to be involved in a lot of people's problems. You're going to be involved in a lot of people's hurts. You're going to be involved in a lot of people's heartaches. And I'm just telling you tonight, nobody is spiritual enough that they can handle a lot of negativity and stay on track if they don't stay right with the Lord. Hey, some of you tonight, I'm not naming names or even have someone in my mind, but I know in a crowd this large tonight, some of you have a lot of compassion for people. But don't misinterpret compassion for spirituality. Y'all listen to me? The fact that I feel empathy towards people may just mean I feel empathy towards people. Y'all hear me tonight? It's so serious that I stay close to the Lord so that my gift doesn't destroy me. Remember that passage of Scripture? I believe it's two different times. Specifically, after the death of Moses, the Bible says that God magnified Joshua in the eyes of the people. Their great leader that's led them from Egypt across the promised land to the doorstep of Canaan land is now off the scene. And his number two guy, the guy that's been in the shadows, the guy that's been the servant, is now been thrust into the national leadership role. And the Bible says, Brother Byron, that God begins to magnify him in the eyes of the people. You say, why did God do that, preacher? Because if he was going to be successful, the people had to look at him like they looked at Moses. But listen to this simple thought tonight. A lot of people want God to magnify them. A lot of people want God to give them a bigger opportunity and shine a spotlight on them. But understand, first of all, promotion comes from the Lord. Don't promote yourself. But let me warn everyone tonight about something. When God magnifies someone, they're not any bigger than they were before. They just look bigger. Y'all with me? If a magnifying glass was put between you and I tonight, and you looked up here and you looked at me through a magnifying glass, I'd look bigger than I really was. But it would not mean that I was any different than I was. I'm just made to look bigger. What's that mean, preacher? You know what a magnifying glass does? It not only highlights your strengths, it also highlights your weaknesses. See, I don't know why God's never given me a bigger opportunity, preacher. It might be because he's protecting you. If there's some issues in my life that are not right, Brother Mike, it might just be better if I'm off in a corner somewhere. But when God puts a magnifying glass on you, when God puts a spotlight on you, can I just warn each of us tonight, myself included, we better be right with the Lord or it could destroy us. And of all the spiritual gifts, and again, I'm overemphasizing this tonight intentionally, but I've watched this specific spiritual gift ruin some people. And they were, Brother Ken, very good people. But they didn't understand the danger of this specific gift. They all have risk with them because if God uses you, as Brother Ken said tonight, you understand the enemy ain't going to roll over and play dead. If God's using you, he's going to get upset. He's going to try to do something about it. And if you and I have the gift of mercy, we have the ability to keep people from quitting. We have the ability to help people get back up. We have the ability to keep people in the race. You understand, we're going to have a target on us twice the size of the people we're helping. Think with me, if you will, tonight. Write this down, our first little flag tonight. I'll zero in on this for a moment tonight. But the spiritual gift of mercy, write this in that first blank, is a personal gift rather than a official gift. And by the word official, I'm sort of emphasizing the corporate nature of spiritual gifts. What I mean by that is tonight, this gift is absolutely a personal gift. A church can show mercy on people. A church can show compassion on people. But this spiritual gift, what makes a gift of mercy so profound is its personal effect. I'm at the bottom. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I don't know how much more I can take. And you show up. And you hug my neck and you tell me we ain't quitting. We're gonna, if I gotta sit here all night, I'm not leaving. You're not throwing in the towel. You're not giving up on yourself. I'm gonna be here for you. If it takes us a week, if it takes us a month, if it takes us a year, I'm going through this with you. What an invaluable spiritual gift. But again, understand, well, the enemy wants to stop those people. How many of you, you don't have to start naming names tonight, but how many of you You've had somebody. You maybe didn't even know what it was, but now you're beginning to put the dots together tonight. But somebody who walked into your life. And boy, if you ever needed someone to show up at the right time, they showed up. I mean, they were Johnny on the spot. You said, well, where did they come from? They were such a gift from the Lord. You know what they were? They may have been a gift from the Lord, but it's because long before they were a gift from the Lord, they were gifted by the Lord. They have a, hey, by the way, some of y'all do not have the gift of mercy. I mean, if your kid's arm's cut off, you tell them to straighten up and be a man, amen? I mean, it's just all black and white. It's all cut and dry. You do not have this gift. No compassion whatsoever. But thank God, the Bible says in Jude verse 22, if some have what? Compassion, making a difference. The people that have had the greatest influence in your life and my life are those people who had compassion. Those people who had that ability, like the Holy Spirit, to come alongside us and to be our helpmeet, to be our comforter. Y'all with me tonight? It is a personal gift. Write this down if you will tonight. And boy, this is so deep. You see the references there. I'm not even going to go there for time tonight, but especially in Romans 15:32, remember that the primary test of a spiritual gift. Boy, this is important. I haven't said this in any of the other studies tonight, but it applies to every one of them. The primary test of a spiritual gift is the experience of joy in its use. You say, how do you know, preacher, if you got a certain gift? There's really no way to put it in language other than to say, you just know that you know that you know. Because it brings you so much joy to use that spiritual gift. Brother Joe, I know that the call to the ministry is a little different than a spiritual gift, but there's a parallel. I mean, if Brother Joe got a phone call tonight and someone said, could you come preach on the other side of nowhere, and we don't know if we can pay you anything or take care of you, but we really feel like God's put you on our heart, I bet you Joe would go there even if he had to pay his own way. You say, why does he do that? Because of the call of God in his life. Brings a lot of joy to get to preach the Word of God, doesn't it, Brother Joe? Well, that's the same parallel of all spiritual gifts, especially the motivational ones. Is the real test that I've got the gift is the joy that comes from using it. Some of you tonight, maybe I'll say it this way, some of us, we've played the role of someone with a gift of mercy, but we didn't enjoy it very much. I mean, we did it. We felt when it was over good about it, but boy, we sure hope those opportunities don't present themselves very frequently in the future, but not the person with this gift. It's what they live for. It's what gets them out of bed in the morning. They just run from one crisis to the next, one broken person to the next, one heartache to the next. And by the way, I would challenge all of you tonight that have this gift, don't get judgmental of people that don't feel the way you do. It is so easy, especially with this gift, to get upset at people. And while everyone needs to be compassionate, everyone needs to be like Christ, not everyone's got your spiritual gift. Notice, if you will, let's all go to Acts chapter number 4 tonight. I want to show you something. Let's see who in Scripture best illustrates the motivational gift of mercy. Well, this one's really sweet, and yet it's powerful. Who in Scripture best illustrates the spiritual motivational gift of mercy? Notice in Acts chapter number 4, what has just happened is the first persecution has been unleashed on the church. And we have John and Peter who stand and speak in verse 13. And notice what the Bible says. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and who? John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been where? I love this verse, don't you? They had been with Jesus. Write this down tonight. The person in Scripture who best illustrates The motivational gift of mercy, I believe, is the Apostle John. Now, we're not going to go there for time tonight, but in 2 John verse 1, 2, and 3, you'll see some of John's Spirit-inspired words and those profound verses that tie in with this spiritual gifting. You'll remember four times in the Gospel of John, in the book that he was inspired of God to write, he refers to himself in the third person. He refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You'll remember at the Last Supper, the Bible says that he was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you, that's not normal. If you've ever hung around someone, if I took Gabriel lunch tomorrow and we were sitting in a restaurant and he said, "Preacher, I want to sit on your side of the booth. I just want to put my head on your shoulder." I'd say, "You know what, Gabe, stay over there, amen." That's not normal. But in the perverted world we're living in, we joke and laugh, and I intended it to be funny when I gave an illustration tonight, but that's not what was going on with John and Jesus. John had something inside of him that the other disciples didn't have. He had that heart connection. He had that soul connection. Remember, the Bible says Jonathan and David loved each other as their own what? Souls. They had a soul connection. There was nothing inappropriate or immoral about David and Jonathan's love, but there was a heart connection there. Jonathan knew that David was going to require for God's will to be fulfilled in his life, for everything that was coming to him as the son of the king was all going to be given to David in his place. And Jonathan loved David so much, he said, "I'm okay with that." Hey, that's the kind of spirit you find in someone who has the gift of mercy. They are just there when people are hurting. I'm thinking of the individual I mentioned earlier that I pastored for many years, and I'm just telling you, if someone was hurting, you didn't want to tell her. Because she would, I'm saying that jokingly tonight. Literally, if she found out about it, she was on the move. And I look back on her night and can't even imagine the people that were convinced God loved them because of her. Convinced that throwing in the towel wasn't the option they should consider because of her. We, of course, had a Bible college. And man, it was amazing how kids that were hurting would all gravitate to her. People who were going through financial heartaches, people who were going through the family crisis, how they all gravitated to her. And to be honest with you, she really helped me as a pastor. She was very, very important to our church because that spiritual gifting caused her to keep a lot of people plugged into the Lord, because she just had that ability to show them that New Testament agape kind of Christianity. Amen. But I can remember more than once having to pick her up because she was ready to throw in a towel herself. And I really, change in her life that was so, I was always impressed with it, still am to this day today, but the change was the day we sat down one day and she was coming to me for something unrelated, and I just said, "Can I get off track and can I get on a rabbit trail with you a little bit?" And we were close enough and I had enough brotherly, sisterly kind of a love and relationship with her that I probably could have said about anything to her, but I said, "You've got the gift of mercy." She goes, "You think that's what my gift is, preacher?" I said, "You've got several of them. But there is no doubt in my mind this is your premier spiritual gift." And I went through her, some of what I'll show you in the next time we get together, some of the pros and the cons, some of the strengths and weaknesses. And I remember sitting there, Brother Phil, when I was going through that with her and just watching big old crocodile tears come down her cheeks. And she goes, "That's what it is, isn't it, preacher?" I said, "It is." She goes, "I've been upset at that person. And I have no reason to be upset at him, but I tried to help so-and-so who was upset at him." And she mentioned four or five people like that. And she said, "Preacher, you don't know, but you might have saved my life today." And I said, "Well, I don't know that I thought I was doing that, but I sure didn't want the devil to use your strength and destroy you with it." Hey, listen, again, let me highlight how important it is that we understand the difference between our spiritual gift and our spirituality. Your gift may make room for you, but your spirituality is required for your gift to keep on working and not destroy you. Amen. Hey, I got no doubt in my mind one of my gifts was the gift of exhortation. I think one of my spiritual gifts is the gift of teaching. Do you know how many preachers have messed up, have ruined their testimony, Brother Todd? You know why? They were good at preaching and teaching, but they didn't stay spiritual. They were good at delivering the goods for everyone else, but they didn't always take the medicine for themselves. I've said for years, my job as a preacher is not to preach to you everything God gives me. I'm supposed to preach the overflow. I need to live off the main diet. If I give away everything God gives me, I'll die and shrivel up on the vine. When I hear preachers say, "Brother Money," and I've heard this for years, you know, boy, preacher, how do you decide what to preach every week? And it's like, are you kidding me? Are you really on Friday night or Saturday night thumbing through your Bible looking for something to preach? I said, if I got a problem, my problem is I got too much to say. I bring too much ammo to the pulpit. Hey, listen, every man of God, every Sunday school teacher, every junior church preacher, every youth preacher, we all better be careful we don't give out everything we got every time we get up to preach. We better have a bunch of overflow. Hey, listen, we better eat the meat of the word and just give a few crumbs of what God's been giving to us. That's how you stay in the race. Let me give you tonight the definition. This is really the heart of this study. What is this motivational gift of mercy, preacher? It's on the screen tonight, but I'll say it a couple of times. It is one who recognizes hurts and wounds and who is drawn to hurting people and who enjoys and expresses opportunities of love. Let me say it again. One who recognizes hurts and wounds and who is drawn to hurting people and who enjoys and expresses opportunities of love. Oh, my goodness, that is so important. I thank God. The individual I've already emphasized tonight, I'm telling you, more than once that person came alongside me. And a lot of times, I mean, I never spent much time with her individually other than like a pastoral visit or an appointment in my office. But I can't tell you the times, Brother David, after a service or after maybe some season we'd been through as a church where I was maybe dealing with some heavy things, she'd come up and say, Preacher, I can't tell you how much I love you and appreciate you. And she didn't know it, but buddy, she was reloading my batteries, amen. I can't tell you the times how much, and again, she was a sister kind of a role in my life. I can't tell you the times she'd come up, and I was always very appropriate how I would give her an embrace, Brother David. She'd say, Preacher, I don't want no handshake. I want a hug. And I'd do it very appropriately and very carefully, a sort of a sideways hug. And I'm just saying, she doesn't know the times that just a word from her was what that preacher needed. I know you think sometimes a preacher is fearless. Man, he gets in the pulpit, he rears back and lets it rip and don't give a flip what nobody thinks. Oh, if you think that's what a preacher... By the way, if you know a preacher that feels that way, I don't ever want to sit under his preaching. Hey, I want a preacher to preach hard. I want him to preach straight. But listen, I want to know his heart breaks when he has to do it. Hey, you wouldn't believe this. Maybe you would. But the preacher I know can verify this, but there's a lot of Sundays when the preacher gets done preaching. He's wondering, did I blow it today or did I help the church or split it? Did I fix a problem today or did I start a problem today? You say, you mean you think that way sometimes, preacher? Not every week. Maybe every other week. I'm just getting to the, but oh no, when you're standing up saying, thus saith the Lord, if you don't say it with authority, I don't want to hear you say it. Buddy, when you get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and you plow through the tater patch, people that are spiritual and trying to get closer to God love it, but people that are struggling sometimes, they say, that's it, I'm done. I ain't putting up with no more. Nobody's talking to me that way. And here you're trying to deliver the truth, and it's taken an entirely different way than it should have been taken. And boy, as a preacher, man, we can beat ourselves up. We can just search our soul and say, man, Lord, I was trying to help them, Lord. And thank God for that child of God, and like the lady I'm describing tonight, who comes along and says, preacher, that wasn't easy to preach, but thank you for preaching it. We needed that preacher. That was some tough medicine, but boy, if we ever needed something, we needed that tonight. That's the kind of a role this person plays all over the church. Write this down, this last little blank here under this flag tonight. This is a volitional spiritual gift. Some we've learned are vocal gifts. Some we've learned are visible gifts. Some we've learned but none that we've looked at have we called a volitional gift. This is a gift that really makes people go to hurting people. So it is volitional. Matter of fact, do take your Bible. I want you to see the passage tonight that I base that on. First, the chapter of 2 Corinthians. Would you go there? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is so important. Notice what verse number 3 says, and I'm about to the finish line tonight. Verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Don't miss that, the Father of mercies. We're talking about the gift of mercy. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Here's why he does it. That we may be able to do what? Comfort them which are in any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Look at verse 5. This is profound. Verse 5 says, For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Oh, listen. This spiritual gift, God loads your wagon and he overloads your heart with love and compassion. And if you got this gift particularly, you can't keep it in. You got to spread it out. You want to help people the way you've been helped. Matter of fact, look, if you will, at chapter 4. It's right there in your study guide tonight. Look at verse 1. I love the way this is worded. When you see it in the context of this spiritual gift, it's even more profound tonight. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received what? Mercy, we faint not. Hey, again, this is a spiritual gift that requires an awful lot of spirituality. Because it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to quit. Because you're dealing with so many people that are dealing with heavy things. Let me tie it all together tonight. Let's go to Galatians and we'll end here tonight. Galatians chapter 6. Would you look there with me as we end tonight? Galatians 6. As you're turning there, let me give you the last part of the introduction tonight. And the next time we are here, 2 weeks from tonight, we will jump right in here and end this study. But write this on our last part of the introduction tonight. What basic principle does one with a gift of mercy most need to exercise? I'm going to give you the answer, and then we're going to look at the verse, and you'll see how it correlates. Write this down tonight. Here's what this person needs. Someone with this spiritual gift, probably as much, if not more, than any of the other 6 motivational spiritual gifts, is you need moral freedom. Moral freedom. So what's that mean, preacher? If you're going to help people that are broken, you can't have the same problem they've got. If you're going to help people that are going through some dark devastation, you can't get sucked into it. I was actually speaking with someone this week from another state that was talking to me, sought my counsel about a matter. And they were talking, Brother David, about a situation that several individuals are going through, and there's a lot of brokenness in both their lives. And here's what's happening. Some lines are being crossed by someone. And this person said to me, very, very brokenhearted, they said, Brother Jenkins, people don't understand when they're going through these kind of things that just one misstep can turn into a disaster. One little deviation might turn into a complete downfall. Look at the verse and you'll understand how I tie it together tonight. Look at Galatians 6, famous passage, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Y'all know what it says, but read it with me out loud. The next phrase, would you? Ye which are spiritual. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself. Say it with me out loud, the end of the verse. Lest thou also be tempted. You know how many people, ladies, and I'm not picking on ladies, but let me just point at the ladies as an illustration. You know how many ladies I've seen over the years that a friend of theirs end up going through marital trouble? And their friend gravitated to them. And out of friendship, out of love, out of compassion, maybe even out of the gift of mercy, this friend tried to be there for their friend. And not only did the marriage that they were involved with end up in divorce, the person who's helping ended up in a divorce. You say, how did it happen, preacher? Buddy, when you're walking into dark, difficult waters, you better be spiritual. Even though you have compassion, even though you got this spiritual gift, listen, the devil can turn your sincerity into a trap. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm not making light of any failures that I've ever heard about or know about anywhere. Sometimes people have just yielded to temptation and ruined their testimony, and there's no other way to say it. They failed, and that's all there is to it. But I'm going to tell you the truth tonight, Brother David. I think a lot of the failures we've read about and heard about in our Christian lives, it's connected to this stuff I'm talking about tonight. I mean, preacher, you know how true this is. We've all heard of preachers that have ended up in some kind of an immoral situation, and it started with a counseling appointment. Now, I know what some preachers do. Some preachers will go to the extreme where, and I'm not, anybody's trying to protect themselves from sin, I'm for them. But some will say, well, I just won't counsel nobody to protect myself. Hey, man, if that's what God tells you to do, foolish it would be for me to tell you otherwise. But here's my challenge tonight. What if we were spiritual and on guard and could help broken people and then disqualify ourselves from being able to help because we stayed on guard, we stayed approachable, we stayed reprovable? Hey, if I'm trying to help someone and you think you see something that is dangerous, please tell me about it. You might be wrong, and if you are, give me the liberty to tell you maybe some stuff so you'll understand what's going on, but do not let me walk off a cliff. Nobody's being loyal because they let someone destroy themselves. My honest opinion is tonight, we need to have real high standards and be real careful. But we still got to keep helping people. Yes. Yes. So ye which are spiritual. Here's why it's true. Let me give you the last statement tonight and we're done. Here's why this moral freedom is so important for any spiritual gift, but especially the gift of mercy. It protects the one with this gift from improper relationships. It protects the one with this gift from improper relationships. I'll say this, and I would challenge everyone to hear me tonight, and I give illustrations like I've given tonight, and I'm always very, very careful that I don't give details because most times when I give an illustration, I don't give a tenth of the details because I am being confidential. I believe a preacher needs to stay very careful. Anybody who helps people needs to be very careful. They keep confidentiality. But listen, sometimes people want you to be confidential about stuff that you can't promise you'll be confidential about. When someone comes to me, Brother Brian, and says, I got to tell you something, but you can't tell nobody, I tell them that I can't be told, because I may have to tell somebody. Now, I know what they're doing. A lot of times they're sincere, and they just need to restate that question. Of course I'm going to keep it confidential. But I had someone come to me one time, Brother Money, and make that statement to me, and then divulge to me they'd committed a crime. And I told them after they told me, I said, you do know that I'm going to turn you into the police, don't you? I'm glad I didn't promise them I wouldn't tell anybody. I mean, this guy had actually committed a crime, and he'd stole something and gotten away with it and thought he could tell the preacher and get it off his chest. And I said, well, you might have got it off your chest, but you're going to have to explain it to a judge, not me, because I don't help people commit crimes. Now, listen. What an important spiritual gift. Now, I hope I didn't scare you to death if you got this spiritual gift. But let's not play games with sin. Hey, listen, if you're a man, I know this is going to sound a little harsh, but I want to say it anyway. If you're a man and your wife tells you she's worried about a lady, you need to listen to her, sir. Brother Humberto Gomez, our missionary in Mexico, said to me probably 25 years ago, Brother Todd, he said, my wife's first intuition is almost always right. He goes, if she tells me she's unsure about a lady, he goes, I just listen to her. Now, that doesn't mean that people that got problems can't get help, but it may mean they can't get it from you. Or if you're going to help her, sir, your wife's sitting there with you the whole time you're trying to help her. I've always done this, and I'm probably going to make somebody mad if I tell you this, because you're going to think I was thinking about you. But I don't know anything but to do, but to be honest. Over the years, I've learned, and ladies don't get offended, but I've learned sometimes when ladies come to a pastor for counsel, they don't want help, they want attention. I don't know why anybody would be attracted to a fat, ugly old preacher. But sometimes ladies think that the man of God is, you know, his feet don't stink when he takes his shoes off at night. And you know what? They stink just as bad as her husband's does. Hey, ladies, if you got you a good man, there's a lot of women that would like one, because there ain't a whole lot of them in this world. So we all need to be careful about the stuff I'm talking about tonight. What I've done over the years, Brother Jeff, if my wife was nervous about a lady, I told the lady she had to counsel with my wife. And some would do that. And some, I can't tell your wife. Well, then you can't tell me either. Because I'm probably going to get in big trouble when I'm about to say. But some ladies don't want to talk to a spiritual woman, because she can read your mail. She can look you right in the face and say, sweetheart, you need to get some things fixed. You're destroying your family. You're destroying your husband. You got this hurt. You got this wound in your life. And this is the answer for it. And some ladies don't want an answer. Their problem is actually their excuse to stay the way they are.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
So I'm not trying to get on a rabbit trail talking about that tonight, but I'm talking about how we help people, but don't be set up by the devil while you're doing it. By the way, ladies, it goes true with your husband. He says, I know you're trying to help that guy, but I got a bad feeling about this. Trust him. Young people, your mom and dad tell you they got a bad feeling about somebody.
Yeah.
Trust him. So my dad's just trying to keep me from somebody I like. No, he's trying to make sure that somebody you like's worth you being with. And if he's going to run around dad, I better stop. I'm going to preach another sermon tonight. Amen. Stand with me. Y'all have been great tonight.